not only our heart, but our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. How many of you are happy? Yeah, that should be all of us. Amen. And so, you know, there's something, you took the words right out of my mouth, Sister Crawford. If we are not happy about anything else, we ought to be happy to be alive. Yes, because when we begin to get reports of individuals who have slipped away and they're, you know, sleeping and now waiting to be with the Lord, we can be exceedingly glad that even in the midst of our trial and whatever we're going through, we have another opportunity. Yes, we do. In order to live and to correct those things that we might need to get straight in order that our lives might be enriched and our days can be better. Amen. And thank God we have another day, because it may be somebody you need to apologize to. It may be somebody you need to beg their pardon. It may be some relationship you need to repair. Amen. And so somehow when we begin to look at a new day is an opportunity. You know, the songwriter said, "Great is thy faithfulness," but it is also scripture that he gives us new mercies every day. And so it becomes an opportunity for us not only to receive that new mercy, but also to share that new mercy with somebody else. Amen. So tonight we're in John, the 7th chapter, verse number 32. Brother Cathcart, if you would read.
Murmuring these things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests and officers to take him. Then Jesus said to them, "I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come." When the Jews said among themselves, "Where does he intend to go, that we shall not find him? He does not tend to go to the dispersed, to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks. What is this thing that he said, 'You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, "Truly, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Would the Christ come out of Galilee? Had not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Who have ye not brought him? Why have you not brought him?" The officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." Then the Pharisees answered them, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd does not know the law is a curse." Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man before he hears him and knows what he is doing?" They answered and said to him, "Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee."
All right.
And everyone went to his own house.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Everybody went to their own house. Amen. So tonight, my brothers and sisters, we have, you know, some very interesting things that we're going to talk about. First, let's go to verse number 32, where he says, "The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning him, and the Pharisees and chief priests sent out officers to take him." First of all, this should be a red flag on the plate.
That's right.
Yes, it should. Because number one, the Pharisees and chief priests don't never get along. And so when you see them getting along and coming on one accord in agreement to do anything, then you must know that there got to be real big problems. Amen. Have you ever known two people who don't have, they're like oil and water, they don't mix? Do you know people like that? And then when you find these individuals chumming, and they're getting along, and then you know it's what? Trouble. Something is up with that. And so they heard, meaning the Pharisees and the chief priests, heard the crowd murmuring. So this is from last week. What were they murmuring about? Now, oftentimes when we hear crowds murmuring, like Moses, when he was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promise, they were murmuring because many of them were grumbling and complaining because they were hungry, or they were thirsty, or they were tired, or you know, it was taking too long, or you know, people, they were murmuring. And so murmuring is not necessarily bad. This time, the crowd was murmuring. So let's go back to verse number 31 and see what they were saying. And many of the people did what? In verse number 31. And many of the people believed in him. Who is the him? Jesus. And when they believed in him, what did they do? What did they do? They said what? When the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done? And so the crowd was going wild based on what? What they saw Jesus do. Have you ever seen him do anything? Oh, hallelujah. And when you see the Lord work, what does it make you do? It makes you tell somebody what the Lord has done for you. Hallelujah. And so we begin to testify. We begin to tell of his goodness. We begin to exhort and explain to other folk. It is not by my might. It is not by my power, but it is by the mighty acts of God, who then did whatever it is that we can begin to express that God did for us. And so the crowd, they were beginning all over the place, one to another, this group and that group and the next group. They were all telling of the miraculous things that they had seen God do. So this was good murmuring. See, they were murmuring testimonies. They were murmuring his goodness. And when the chief priests and Pharisees stopped long enough to listen to what the people in the crowd were saying, they got upset. See, isn't that just like folk? When the two of you are over here fighting, and the two of you are back there fighting, and the two of you are over here fighting, you hear a bunch of noise, and when you begin to focus, this one is cursing that one out, that one is cursing that one, you done slap her, and she already told you, if you put your hand on me one more time, and you already told her, you cut your eye at me, and you done look at her some kind of way. And so when we hear that kind of talk, some people get very pleased. Yes, they do. Because division, confusion, and just a total mess, as we could say, a hot mess. But this time, they were telling of the goodness of God and what he did through Jesus Christ. And the Pharisees, who are the religious leaders of the time, and the chief priests, who are the spiritual leaders, had a problem with that. Amen. Now let's talk about that for a minute. Should they really have had a problem with individuals who were giving God the praise for what God had done through Christ in their lives? Turn to somebody and say, what's wrong with them?
But that's the way they are.
Yeah. Talk about that, Brother Kithcart.
They have a division among them.
So turn that into modern day times.
Oh.
Do we have any Pharisees and priests among us?
Yes, sir.
All right, so turn that into modern day times.
All right. Right now we have Trump.
Yes.
Doing things that he should be doing. One group agreed with him, one group disagreed with him. And no one knows what he's going to say next.
My Lord.
And no one knows what he might do next. But everybody's worried because there's a division among the leadership. We don't have any leadership,
no.
Any permanent, any stable leadership. We have flexing leadership.
Yes, chaos.
Yeah.
And you have so many folks who've been ejected out of the administration for the very same reason, right?
And it worries us.
It continues to worry us. But let's put it a little bit more closer to home than that in the church. We can put it up there on Trump. Yeah, you can hang anything on him. But let's get it in the church.
And see you're trying to improve things, then there's some that would be in a certain group that tries to bring it down or try to cause controversy into, you know, what's going on, you know. But when God has you, when God is with you, whatever they do, they ain't no greater than God. And that's what I keep up here. They can do all they want to do and try to separate you, whatever. But when God's on your side, you don't have to worry. Let them go on and do what they think they're doing right. And God got your back. You'll bring it around. That's it.
Turn to somebody and say, it won't work. And so these individuals came together and told the officers, and these are the temple guards. These are the individuals who kind of like did their biddings, right? Like the ushers at the door. I can say to them, if you see somebody come in looking shabby and smelling bad, don't let them in the door. So you're ready to give them instructions at the door, right? And so these were the temple guards. They had already told the temple guards to go and do what? Take him. Now remember what Jesus had said earlier, that he did not want to go to the feast because it was not yet his what? Time. And so he was trying to avoid them doing what? Taking him, because he recognized that he still had what? Some more work to do. I dare somebody to tell somebody, I got some more work to do. So look, the Lord ain't going to take you no earlier than it is your time, because look, you still have some more work to do. Yes, you do. And so Jesus then said to them, I shall be with you for what? A little while. He said, look here, you don't have the power to take me. You all can conspire. In fact, he had already read their minds, their hearts. He already knew their thoughts. He already knew what they were trying to conspire to do before they even showed up. But at the same token, he said, not tonight. Yeah, you will take me at some point, but when it is time, when it is my time for you to take me, amen. And he said, I'm going to be with you for a little while. Now, we want to talk about that for a minute, because, you know, for those individuals who feel like, you know, I used to, my previous church, that's what I tell you, these churches are different as night and day. They would be comfortable staying in church all day long. I mean, we would shout. You talk about a shout. Now, I can get a good little half a shout off the ground here, but we would shout for an hour. I mean, just a good hour. just in celebration. And then still come back and have the rest of the service. Yeah. And so it was that kind of service. Now, you know, there are individuals who have a stopwatch running as soon as you start the service. Yeah, because they don't want to be in church, what? All day long. And so Jesus reminds us that you can stay all day, but I'm only going to be with you for a little while. And so he says here in this passage, a little while I am with you, and then I'm what? I'm gone. I will go to him who sent me. You will seek me and you will not what? Find me, because I'm going back to my Father. And where I'm going, based on your hatefulness and based on your evil heart and based on your bad ways, where I'm going, look at, you can't even go. If you want to go, you must bow your knee and confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord. And so Jesus was telling the Pharisees and Sadducees, the Pharisees and the chief priests and the officers, these individuals who were the religious leaders, that they were not fit for the kingdom of God. We have to be so careful. You can come here and wear white and put the little thing on your head and look at the stewardesses. Now they got the little thing on their head now. I came here Sunday and one sister said, "Look here, Pastor, I am not wearing that thing on my head because they told me that you said that we are." I never told them that they had to put the little thing on their head now. They put everything on me, praise the Lord. And Ms. Sims didn't even have the thing on her head, but everybody else.
I'm going to have one next time.
And so they had the little doily on their head. They look very holy over there in the corner, you know, very sanctified and sanctimonious, all of them. And then they were sitting up a little bit, you know, a little extra, you know, erect. And so you can be as holy looking on the outside.
Yes.
You can be as on the outside, but if you are not saved in your soul, you will not see God. No, you won't. You can sing on the choir and have a beautiful voice, but you'll be hanging up in hell by your tongue. Yes, you will. And so we have to come to a place that is not form or fashion, but it's from the depth of our soul.
Oh, yes.
That we must serve God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, because that's what we're supposed to do. Amen. And so Jesus says, where I am going, you all are hypocrites. You are not fit to come to where I am. Amen. Then the Jews said among themselves, see, they're not bold enough to talk back to Jesus. See, I love Jesus. See, that's the thing I like about Jesus. See, when Jesus shuts them down, he shuts them all the way down. They talked among what? Themselves. Where does he intend to go that we can't even find him? See, I love this. I just love Jesus. They're like, is he going to go up on the mountain like Moses? Where does he intend to go? Because see, some individuals feel like they can control your life. They feel that as though if they are in charge of you, or if they have a position over you, that they are in control of you. Look here, you might be in charge, but God is in control. If God tells me that I'm going to be, or I'm going to make it, or I'm going to achieve, I'm going to do it. Because what? God said so. If God says I'm healed, I'm going to be healed. Because what? God said so. There is no one else that has control or is in charge except the Lord himself. Even the Jews had to scratch their head and say, well, where are you going? I thought we came to take him, and now he's telling me that we can't even find him if we're looking for him. My God. He had all power in his hand. Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What is this thing that he said? You will seek me and not find me. And where I am, look at this thing confounded them to the extent that they kept asking themselves the question over and over and over. Have you ever run into some individuals who, based on the way their mind works and they can't understand something, they'll just keep asking you the same thing over and over and over? They don't believe. You need to get spiritual. See, when you are walking in a carnal mind, you will never understand. That's why Jesus said it's going to be very difficult for individuals who got too much sense. Because the kingdom of God is simple. It's very simple. He said it's going to be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for some individuals, rich or poor or too knowledgeable or whatever the case is, to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. Because some of us, we have too much sense, and we'll be trying to do some kind of mathematic equation that begins to map our way from here to glory.
My Lord.
I'm just going to trust in the Lord until I die. I'm going to stay on the battlefield. I'm going to treat my neighbor right. I'm just going to trust in the Lord until I die. And so when we begin to do things like that, then somebody say, well, what you mean by trust? What you mean by you gonna stay? What you mean? Well, I can't explain it to you. If you don't get the drift, look here. Wait until the Lord injects it in your spirit. Amen. Because there are individuals they will never understand because they're thinking it with a carnal mind. There are children, like little children. Children trust their parents. They don't have to have any. Their parents could be abusive. Their parents could be thugs or addicts or whatever, but they still trust their parents. They have no better sense because they have some innate connection that these people are supposed to take care of me. On the last day, the great day of the feast, this is the last day, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come after me. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of the heart will flow the rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." Jesus is the living water. The Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit like a river of living water living down in the city of our soul. It is just like the Cooper River. Amen. Have you ever seen that river get choppy enough that from time to time, or there used to be, you remember before they put this thing on the artesian fountain where they blocked it up, it just used to shoot up out of the ground? Y'all remember that one time before? They used to send us down there with jugs to go fill it up. You know what I'm talking about, girl. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. My cousin, look at, we used to have to go get the artesian water because there was supposed to be some miracle power in that water, right? And it tastes so bad. But now they made it so fancy that they made it into like a little fountain. But it used to be a time that water just shot up. It just shot up out of the ground. Almost like if you go to Waterfront Park, the water there at Waterfront Park, they got it going into a little, but it just shoots up. Well, in our spirit, the Holy Spirit is just like a river of living water that from time to time, that when you need a surge of something on the inside. See, it's going to come from the inside. It's not always what you need somebody to do on the outside by encouraging and patting you on your, but from the inside, through the power of the Holy Spirit, when you need a boost or a burst or a gust, God will, he will spring up in you. Just like living water. Jesus said, "He who believes in me will never thirst again." The Holy Spirit was not yet manifested because Jesus was still walking the earth. When God was in the Garden of Eden walking with Adam and Eve, the Son was still in the heavens. Along with the Holy Spirit. When God the Father decided that he needed a Savior to go down and ransom his people back to himself, he then said, "Who will go for us?" Jesus said, "Send me, I'll go." He wrapped him up in flesh and pushed him through a virgin, and he became God, Emmanuel, with us, walked with us, and talked with us. And then finally, when he gave up the ghost, they put him in a barred tomb, Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. He went down to hell and wrestled with the devil and took the keys of the sting of death and the keys of death away from the devil. Those who were captive from the Old Testament released them and took them up to heaven. When he came up out of hell, he rose with what? All power in his hand. When he ascended to heaven, he told them, "Go into an upper room, stay there. Wait until the promise comes." And on the 50th day, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit dwelt among all of us. Amen. Therefore, many from the crowd, when verse number 40, when they had heard the saying, they said, "Truly, this man is a prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some says, "Will the Christ come out of Galilee?" See, individuals continue to be hung up over the fact of where Jesus came from. They knew him. Some of them grew up with him. Some of them could identify with him because they went to school with him. But you can't, and I said this on last week and I'll say it again on this week, you can't look at individuals for who you think you know them to be. Because when God begins to mature them and work in them and the Holy Spirit grows in them and that river of life begins to flow through them, they are not the same people. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're a brand new creation. Oh, we used to sing a song, you know, I believe in holiness, you know. Yes. We used to sing a song, won't you let him in? Hice up your window, open up your door, and let him come on in. Now, many of us will crack our window and partially open our door because we don't want him to come in so much. We want a little piece of him to come in. There used to be a time, one time, that individuals, the people are so particular now these days, you know. Used to be a time they used to leave the door open. We never used to have locks on the door. But now they'll look at it, open the door just enough, you know, and then they'll let you, you can almost put your leg in and that's it. With the Holy Spirit, we have to then want all of him. Live in me, Jesus. Have your way in me. Hallelujah. If I could be a Christian in my heart, if I could be more loving in my heart, if I could be more like Jesus in my heart, this is what God calls us to be. And so when individuals, you may be same old Florence Gilmore, Neil Gilliard. Well, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, you thought you knew who I was, but when God starts using me, yeah, can turn the whole world upside down. Glory be to God. And so they were hung up on the fact that we know him. He didn't come down out of the sky with battle raiment on. He came out of Galilee. And in fact, Galilee was like coming from the east side. See, we talk about the east side too bad around here. But you all know I'd be holding up the east side now. Or even worse than that, Bayside. You know, you even worse. Older season, sister older, she's mm-mm. Now I can deal with the east side, but I can't deal with Bayside at all. Oh Lord, I used to date a girl from Bayside. I'm not gonna talk about that. they made me quit the girl. I couldn't just say, where you from, sweetie? Bayside, you can't date her no. Oh Lord, based on where she was from, I said, I can't date you no more. You live in Bayside. Like they were bad people, and they were not bad people. They were just, that was just where they lived. But this is the same thing that they did to Jesus. Say it again, sister.
There was a man standing in there. In the area, right? And then the mama said, if you dare to come near my teacher or my daughters, I will shoot you tonight.
That was on Bayside? Oh, Lord. And so, you know, again, they were hung up on the fact that Jesus was from Galilee. And so they said, is this not he who is from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ shall come from the seed of David in the town of Bethlehem? Well, he did. Amen. And they missed him. See, sometimes you don't miss your water until your well run dry. Sometimes we are so busy looking at the forest, we don't even see the tree. And so we have to come to the realization that I have to open my eyes so that I can what? See. Because it's not particularly who I think I'm looking for, but I have to always be looking to see who God places in my path. Amen. So there was a division among the people because of him. Some of them wanted to take him, but guess what? Not a soul put their hand on him.
When you don't know who you're touching.
Hallelujah.
And you ain't sure.
They were completely conflicted because many of them, most of them, knew that he was extraordinary. Even if they could not believe, if they could not agree as to whether or not he was legitimately the Christ, Many of them know that he was not just like everybody else. He was somebody. And even the chief priests, even the officers, they did not put their hands on Jesus. The officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees and says to them, why have you not brought him? Look here, now remember the officers, the chief priests and the Pharisees sent them to go get Jesus. And then they went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees and said, well, y'all sent us, why y'all didn't go get him yourself? Have you ever met anybody who wanted you to do their dirty work? Mm-hmm. And see, some individuals, they're not bold enough on their own, and then they'll set you up, or then you look like a complete idiot if you go and do what they ask you to do. And so that's why you have to be sure, you have to be very sure that you are following the unction of the will of God. They said, well, y'all didn't go get him. The officer said, no man ever spoke like this man. When you all sent us to go and lay hand on him and to take him, when he spoke to us, there was something about what he said that arrested me in my tracks. Even they started believing that this man, if he's not a prophet, he sure enough is the Christ, to the extent that they could not put their hands on him. The Pharisees said, are y'all also what? Deceived? They wanted individuals to believe so badly what they believed. Have you ever met people who don't like other people and don't want you to like them because they don't like them? Have you ever met people like that? Isn't that messed up? And because they don't like them, they don't want you to like them. And you really don't have what? Nothing against them. Don't even know them. But sometimes in order to get along, we go along with that kind of foolishness, don't we? Sometimes we do. And so they asked them, have you all been deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is a curse. Now, good old Nicodemus. Now, you got to watch out for Nicodemus. Now, remember Nicodemus, remember what did he do? He went to him at night when after everything had died down. Now, he had already thrown the rock and hide his hand. And then he said, oh, something on his heart was burning him so bad. He had to go back to Jesus at night because he was believing that stuff. Now, remember, look at the question that they just asked him. Have any of the Pharisees or any of the chief priests believed in Jesus? And then the next name we hear is who? Good old Nicodemus. Look at him. He made him a witness. To the extent that he came to Jesus at night, and Jesus told Nicodemus, what? You gotta be born again. Nicodemus said, how? What am I supposed to go in my mother's womb a second time? Jesus said, you gotta be born again. See, we would have never known that if Nicodemus didn't go to him that by night. See, want a touch, but don't want nobody to know he got touch. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Believed in the thing that Jesus was saying, but still wanted to be on the... See, that's why you got to be so careful straddling the fence. Either you're going to be on the Lord's side, or you're going to be in the world. Amen. And so Nicodemus, same one who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, remember, he was a what? Pharisee. Being one of them, said to them, does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is? See, Nicodemus is trying to, remember Pilate tried to wash his hand, but couldn't wash the blood off of his hand because he had already put the ball in motion. Nicodemus is trying to give them an out by saying, well, how can you all judge this man when we haven't even heard the man out? Remember when they did put him on trial in front of the Sanhedrin, even Agrippa, Agrippa, who was the judge or the one who was here, he said, oh my God, even I was almost, well, in front of Paul, you know, he said, even I was almost what? Persuaded. Yeah. Because when Paul was talking so convincingly about what Jesus had done, Agrippa was conflicted and was persuaded that Jesus Christ is Lord. They answered Nicodemus and said to him, "Are you also from Galilee?" See, now they turn on their own. "Search and look, for no prophet has risen out of Galilee." Who said so? Who said so? Remember when New Orleans finally went to the Super Bowl and everybody was saying, "Who that? Who that?" Because nobody could believe that New Orleans would ever, you know, get to the Super Bowl. Remember when Carolina Panthers was a new expansion team finally? I mean, so here we find, my brothers and sisters, that when individuals begin to question and challenge who we are, where we're from, based on the fact that they have already disqualified us by those things, we are still children of God. And by the power and authority that God has given us, it don't make no difference where I'm from. It has everything to do with who I belong to. Amen. And everyone went to their own house. Look at Jesus. Jesus sent them with their heads tucked between their tails. And they went home. Mm-hmm. No one put their hands on him. Nicodemus stood up and challenged the fact that they could not judge the man until they heard from the man. The officer said, "We heard from the man, and we believe in the man." And then the Pharisees and chief priests said, "Well, has any Pharisee or chief priest believed in the man?" And then good old Nick. See, Jesus had already touched him by that point. He could no longer sit in his tent door judgment. He had to rise up. And see, he'll make your enemy your footstool.
Yes, he will.
He had to rise up and said, "We cannot do what you all are saying. Because this man, whether we want to believe it or not, regardless of the fact that he's from Galilee, is the Son of the Most High God."
Oh,
yes. Nobody can do us like Jesus. Nobody can do us like the Lord. When we begin to trust in Jesus, believe in what God did through him, more power is given unto us by virtue of what we believe. The devil will have to go to flight. Demons will begin to tremble. Those who are blind will begin to see. Those who are sick will be healed. Those who are poor will be restored. When we believe, he unleashes the power through the power of the Holy Spirit to turn our entire lives around.
Amen.
Amen. No prophet has ever arisen from Galilee until now. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's always a first. There's always a first. When you say it can never happen, God can show you it sure enough can happen. During the days when Sister Cathcart integrated the College of Charleston, weren't many black people there. Always a first. God enables us to be trailblazers. I don't know how many people came out of Shulaville and was able to integrate Charleston County Schools. Always a first.
I was the first black woman at Brantford, but I was the first black one there, and guess what? And nobody else had a master's degree but me.
Amen.
And the black fella from Somerville, can't think of it, Cummings.
Always a first. Always a first. Always a first.
31.
And we were the only two.
Yeah, Gladys Sims. And so we don't have to look to Rosa Parks and Mary McLeod Bethune. We got Roberta Frazier, Mildred Goods Clemens, Jeanette Odom, Crawford, Flo Myers Smith, Boston, Middleton, Brooke on upstairs. There's always a first. God, Brother Kithcart, God can use you to get the glory out of your life. We believe that they're going to pack it again. We believe. I have seen it in the spirit that what we have seen in the days of old will come back again. Amen. To the extent that this building would not be enough to hold them. Amen. God can do anything. And when we believe in him, I remember when I was at my old church, the previous church, and they were trying to build a church for 40 years, literally trying to build a church for 40 years, couldn't do it. Church was falling in on top of them. I was much younger when I went there. You know, I was in Georgetown for 18 years. And when I went there, they said, oh, surely you can't do it. They looked at me like a little boy, you know. They said, we had other pastors. They were seasoned men, which meant they were older than me. But the Lord showed me. And then the Holy Spirit told me, march around the building 7 times. And I marched around the building 7 times. And then the Holy Spirit said, do it for 7 days. I would do it for 7 days to the extent that folk would be, they said, well, what is that, man? They thought I was crazy. And many of you probably think I'm crazy too. And then people would be driving by the church and they would see me marching around the church. I would be marching and singing and praying and by myself around 7 times every day. 7 times for 7 days straight. And the second day, not only would they be riding by to see what I was doing, because see, I was new then, you know, then they would start backing the car up. Then someone would come and park and look. And then at some point, about the third or fourth day, you know, two or three of them said, well, Pastor, if you're going to be marching around this church in this hot sun, we're going to come march right along, because they were trying to figure me out and try to see what I'm doing, you know. And see, I wasn't down where I'm marching around the church. They're trying to talk to me, say, well, why are you doing this? I'm just singing it. I said, let's raise a hymn. Let's sing a song. I don't want to talk. No mindless chatter. We're marching around. By the time we got to the seventh day, we had over 200 folk marching around the church right along. Look, they didn't know what they were doing, except God was pulling down the walls of those things that were dividing them. See, it wasn't for my purpose, but it was for their purpose. And I did not understand why God had me do it, except the fact that it unified the congregation. And those who did not march very soon came on board. And shortly thereafter, we started with haste, beginning to build a brand new church that took them 40 years to even get out of the conceptual stage. They started seeing foundations being poured. And what you see now today, $3.5 million come up out of the ground. God can do anything. I said all that just to say this, that God can do anything. And God showed it to me. The same day I told you when they gave me, you know, the word to come, well, to say, you know, talk to people from Mount Zion and see if I wanted to come to this church. And I told you the story that I came here, Miss Pinckney was here, and she was checking some mail and saw me peeping through the gate. And she said, aren't you Reverend Middleton? And I said, well, how you know? Because I had just done a workshop at their conference. And she said, because you just did a workshop at our conference, so I know you. And she said, what you doing down here? You trying to be our pastor? I said, no, I'm not trying to be your pastor, because, you know, she knew I was going to the meeting. And so instead of going to Florence, I came down here first. The Holy Spirit instructed me to come to the church. I said, well, can I come in the church? And by the time I walked from that door, I walked right around and I came up this aisle. And when I was coming, turned midway in the aisle from that window right there, there was such a light that was shining through. And as I was walking, I got right about here. That light hit me in such a way. God gave me confirmation in that moment. Wow. This is where I was supposed to come. Love where I was, but the Lord said, you must come here. And from that moment, he started showing me some of the things that are to happen in this place, even right now. And that's why when I came through the door, I said, let's soar. and we started moving on that theme from that point. God is taking us higher. And so as we believe in him, it shall be so.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we are ready to go home. Amen. Any additional praise reports, prayer requests, anything good for the order?